With the arrival of summer, one great activity that you might not have considered is to take your family on pilgrimage. Teresa McGurk is the owner and creator of The Little Pilgrim, and she is here to explain exactly how you can take even your littlest children on pilgrimage. Teresa, welcome to The Morning Blend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm so excited that we get to have this conversation. Maybe you can start off by sharing a little bit about yourself for our listeners and what your business is.
Thank you. At The Little Pilgrim, we are creating resources for families, for Catholic families, to have more meaningful experiences visiting holy sites with their kids. We mainly create activity pilgrimage guides. So when you visit a holy site with your children, you're not just looking at a pretty church and saying a few prayers, but you're learning about the history behind it or things to find in the art. And so our business is focused on encouraging families and giving them resources to have more meaningful pilgrimage experiences with their kids.
That's amazing. I just love that you do this. It's such a unique but really important ministry that you have here. Maybe you can tell us the story. How did you get this idea? I mean, who would have kind of thought of this? But I think it's something that will be very valuable for families. How did you get this idea and get all this started?
It started when my kids were little, and I had several kids, five and under, I think three at the time.
Okay.
Probably pregnant with the fourth. My husband is retired Navy, so we spent a lot of time moving from coast to coast, and every time we'd move, we would seek out any special shrines or missions or sacred sites to visit and learn about the local area. And that really started growing into focusing on pilgrimage as part of our domestic church and taking that time out of our busy schedules and the hectic chaos of raising kids to seek out God outside of our home together as a family. And so when my kids were little, I definitely kept having this tap on my shoulder from the Holy Spirit that how neat would it be if we had resources, something that my kids can carry around like we do when we visit national parks. National parks are great with the Junior Ranger program.
Right.
And they get their little stamps and their little booklets and they learn about the site and they get really engaged. Mm. And I kept thinking, what if we had this for our Catholic sites? That would be so neat, but it more spiritual too, where it includes kid-friendly prayers and something on their level spiritually that would make it more meaningful while they're learning about the history and the neat things about it. So, you know, waiting for someone to do this wonderful thing wasn't happening.
Right. Waiting for someone else to make this
and
resource.
Every time we'd go somewhere, I'd have so many ideas. And homeschooling my kids, of course, I could see the types of things they were navigating to, right? Like map activities or quizzes and things, not word searches. And you see a lot of kind of just generic things that kind of regurgitate the same type of activities, just using new vocabulary or, you know, just a coloring book or something. I wanted it to be multidisciplinary. You were looking at history and science and nature at this place through a Catholic perspective. So, of course, after many years of the Holy Spirit just tapping me on the shoulder around COVID when things kind of slowed down and I only had one baby at the time and it felt like I couldn't say no anymore, that this was the time that I had built up this, all of these notes and learning and interest and passion for this ministry. And I may not be able to make it what I want for another 5-10 years, what I hope to envision, all of the resources and things we can do to support families, but starting now, doing what I can.
I like that. You have to start with where you are and what you can do. And you've already created several books now. So maybe just tell us what books you have.
I have worked with some shrines to have shrine-specific books for their location. That includes the very first one was Our Lady of La Lecce in St. Augustine. And then the Shrine of St. Joseph in Sterling, New Jersey. The Cabrini Shrine in New York City, and the new, I guess it's about 2 years old now, the Shrine of Blessed Stanley Rother in Oklahoma City.
Wow.
So I have those four that are specific for kids to use at that location. Mm-hmm. And then I also have two general books because obviously we couldn't wait to have books for every shrine in the U.S.
That would be a lot.
that would be a lot. That's going to take, you know, beyond my lifetime, most likely. But I also have a Cathedrals and Basilicas book that's focused on the United States. So there's little tidbits from different churches here in the U.S., a little bit of a deep dive into the National Shrine in D.C., the Baltimore Basilica, which was our very first cathedral in the United States. But it can be used at any cathedral or basilica, just to know what the difference is. What is a cathedral, right? A lot of us as grown-ups don't even know what defines a cathedral.
What does define a cathedral?
It is the cathedra. It is the seat of the bishop, right? So that is his church for the diocese. It's the mother church of the whole diocese. Mm-hmm. So basically, wherever you are, whatever parish you belong to, you are also under the umbrella of the cathedral, and that makes that your church as well. And then I have just a general pilgrimage book, too, about pilgrimage in the Catholic Church, and that can be used at any site, anywhere in the world. I actually had a friend who took it to Santiago de Compostela.
Wow.
Which has been a dream to go to, of course, but
My
book made it there. That was super special.
Wow.
And that has two parts to it. The first part is looking at what is pilgrimage, why do we do it, what the history kind of looked like through the ages, how it peaked during the Middle Ages. And then the second part is activities and things to do wherever you are at that site. So those are kind of my books now.
That is just amazing. And I want to get back to this idea of pilgrimage. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking this morning with Teresa McGurk. She's the creator of The Little Pilgrim, which gives families the tools that they need to take their children on pilgrimage. Teresa, I think for many of us, we hear that word you just referenced, pilgrimage, and I immediately think of traveling somewhere very far away, like Rome or Lourdes or somewhere like that. And it feels, to me, it feels something that's very out of reach often. And especially, you know, for a family that maybe has small children, I think especially that feels like something that's just not feasible for them to go on a pilgrimage. You know, we think of maybe pilgrimage as something we do once or twice in our lifetimes. It's kind of this big idea, but that's not what you're talking about here. So how should we approach this idea of a pilgrimage?
I love this question. This is central to my mission. This is the mission side of what we do, because pilgrimage isn't supposed to be that thing that you can do once in a lifetime. Sure, I have that bucket list, right?
Right.
I have the sites that I dream of sometimes going. That's not realistic for my own family or for most families. Most people have to wait till their kids are out of the home and then they can go on those big trips. But pilgrimage is just simply visiting a holy site. That's all it has to be. It's with the pious intention of going on a pilgrimage, which could be another parish church. It could be anywhere where you can go and visit Jesus and have that experience. And you're taking that time out of your schedule, right? You're taking that effort. That effort and that time, that's your gift that you're giving God, right? You know, even the journey, we all picture medieval pilgrimages where they had to walk great distances and they had to wrap up all of their household and affairs in order to go on this pilgrimage. Well, that's because the only option to get there was to walk. So, you know, driving or flying to a pilgrimage site doesn't make it any less of a pilgrimage. And as you know, like traveling with kids will be penitential no matter how you do it. So having that penitential element, that whatever the day brings or the trip brings is part of your gift, your offering. And it's not something that you have to do when you're single and don't have kids yet and have that freedom, or when you have resources, when you're older and your kids are grown. Pilgrimage is the field trips of the domestic church, right? We can visit our holy sites and do that every year, every part of the year. For Marian feast days, for example, you can go find a statue of Mary at another church and spend some time with her. That is a pilgrimage.
Oh, I love that.
So there's lots of little ways that I want to get people excited about doing with their kids that are doable, that you don't have to wait for someday when I get to go on pilgrimage.
Right. And I love that. And that you can do it on a local level, or just we're a couple hours away on a camping trip or something like that. Like even that is an opportunity for a pilgrimage.
Absolutely. Just seeking out a holy site wherever you are. That was part of the evolution we had in our own family's way of looking at pilgrimage. It was, you know, going visiting a site. And then every time we would travel somewhere, oh, we're going to take a day or two and just visit the local cathedral there or any other shrines that might be there, to where now we take you know, week-long pilgrimages and find all the holy sites in an area and delve into that culture and history.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're going on a vacation this summer, just add it one day or one afternoon and take that time to prayerfully visit a beautiful place that will inspire your kids' faith in a very tangible way, right? It keeps faith from being abstract, and you're seeing it. The church that generations of people built and prayed for, and all of these tangible places and the people connected to it, it's special and unique and reminds them that you're part of this big universal church.
I love that so much. And it reminds me of times where I have been on vacation and I was able to go to a new church, and especially if I took a little bit of extra time to even just walk around, or if they even had confessions there. I have a memory now of that place. It wasn't just somewhere, oh, I stopped in really quick to go to Mass because I had to and it was Sunday, but because I actually spent a little bit of time there and it was actually a special memory for me. And so I love that you're bringing that idea out for kids.
Yes.
Teresa, as you know, in talking about pilgrimage, we are in a Jubilee year, the year 2025, and pilgrimage is a key component of a Jubilee year. So maybe you can explain a little bit to our listeners how that idea of pilgrimage is really special in a Jubilee year and why someone should consider, you know, incorporating that into this Jubilee year.
I am super excited about the Jubilee year, not only because, yay, we get extra indulgences for going on pilgrimages, but it's bringing this awareness that pilgrimage is around us in our communities, right? Like we were speaking about before, it's not something you have to wait until you have lots of money or resources or time someday in the distant future. It's here in our community, and each diocese has a list of the holy doors and the pilgrimage sites that you can receive this Jubilee indulgence right in your own community, right? And or somewhere else in the United States. You don't have to travel overseas for it. And I love that the Jubilee year is bringing that awareness that we have countless, so many amazing shrines and basilicas and grottos and beautiful pilgrimage sites right here in our own country. And I think that's really exciting to see that happening. And this is something you should do with your kids. You may not be able to go on a pilgrimage during a Jubilee year, again, with your kids. They might be grown or out of the home, and this is a really amazing family experience to have, and the graces that can come from it are just amazing. So take advantage of it. Take your kids. Find some place in your diocese that has been a designated holy door, and look at your diocese for all of the requirements that need to happen, and go explore a beautiful new holy site.
I also think, you know, here on a local level, I mean, you live here in Portland and we have some wonderful designated pilgrimage sites here. As someone that lives locally, what are some of your favorite places to go on pilgrimage here?
Oh, absolutely. We definitely, as a family, try to incorporate a lot of local places into just smaller pilgrimages throughout the year. So definitely during this Jubilee year, the Grotto is, of course, such a jewel for the Pacific Northwest. It's one of the very few national shrines that we have, and most people don't know about the beautiful grounds that we have on the upper grounds there, right? There's so much to explore and to see and to think about. My kids get really excited when they see one of their favorite Marian shrines there.
Which one is that?
Well, it depends on the kid.
Oh, but I see. Okay.
One of my daughters in particular really loves Our Lady of Guadalupe, and
that
they have such a beautiful little shrine there to her, and it's neat to see all the cultures represented, and it's such a jewel.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't have to be the Grotto. You could go on a pilgrimage to just another parish, right? Just going to another church. Again, it's taking that time out as a gift to God that you are taking time out of your busy schedule to be with Him and to visit a sacred site that you don't normally go to, right? But there are so many different parishes that could be special in their own way, like the very first church in St. Paul, right? That's pretty neat to go to the historic first church in Oregon.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful church too.
And then we have lots of abbeys and monasteries in the region. And a lot of people don't consider, oh, why would I can't take my kids to an abbey, but they're very welcoming, right? The grounds are often, and the chapels are open to the public. You can go on pilgrimage there, and you may have to keep your kids, you know, quieter voices in some of them. So it's something to consider, but some of our most wonderful pilgrimage experiences has been visiting monasteries in our different travels. But obviously Mount Angel and the Brigantine Order that we have here, there's so many neat places we have right here in our community.
And I love the idea of visiting the religious orders too, because I feel like anytime I've visited a religious order, I always feel such a sense of peace with that community and getting to know them. There's something very special about where they live. And I don't know how to describe it, but I always feel this sense of calmness, of almost like a little mini retreat, even if I'm just there for an hour or two. Maybe I'm there for evening prayer, or like you said, just to see the chapel or the grounds or something like that. But wherever I visit a religious order, it's a very beautiful place to experience. And it's also a great way to help your kids see the religious vocations.
Absolutely.
Too.
I definitely keep in mind, especially as my sons get older, pilgrimage places, pilgrimage sites that would maybe, inspire some vocations in the family, maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Just seeing that and knowing that there are men and women that live this way, I think a lot of kids don't grow up even just seeing that it's an option. So I just love that you can do a lot of different things in a visit to a religious community.
Absolutely. And I love that sense of holy ground. You can tell that you're on holy ground. And there have definitely been a few sites across the U.S. where just being there, you can feel it. That's a really special experience you should have with your kids.
So. Yeah, that is a beautiful way to put
that. Or anyone. Obviously, you don't need kids to have that experience.
That's true, yeah.
This is what we're speaking of is applicable to any age, right? But I just feel that a lot of families miss out because they think they're not, it's not for them. It's not for taking small kids to go do this. And I'm here to tell you that's exactly what you should be doing, right? This is to make your domestic church, what you're doing at home, what you're learning in your parish and your own community, to make it bigger.
Yeah. And going off that, we talked a little bit in the first segment about when you're planning a family vacation or any vacation and going to the Catholic church or basilica or cathedral and incorporating that into your vacation. But you also have this idea, and you referenced it a little bit earlier, but you plan now your trips they're not a vacation. They're a pilgrimage, a family pilgrimage, rather than a family vacation, even with, maybe a little pilgrimage sandwiched in there. But you plan family pilgrimages.
Yes.
So tell me, how does that look for you now that you've kind of switched
and
kind of
building
your focus?
It.
Yeah.
Our family pilgrimages now, they become so special. I get chills thinking about it because it changes your perspective on why you do what you do as a family. Like, really, the purpose of your vocation in a family is to guide your children to heaven as best you can. And that feels tangible when we're going to a place and we're guiding them to holy sites. And we're learning about saints that have been there or visited that place or are buried there, or chapels that were built because of some miraculous thing that happened 200 years ago.
Right.
And the kids are learning this, and we're learning this together, and we're experiencing it. And I didn't want that to be just one day. There are so many amazing places in the United States where you can spend a whole week visiting holy sites and being on pilgrimage. We also like to incorporate, some national parks and some historic sites,
Sure.
We're not going to leave those out. And that's important because you have to understand the context that our faith was brought into, right? And to have that multidisciplinary view of what the environment and nature is like there, the people who brought it, what the history was, who lived there first, of these are important components of why that shrine, church, basilica is standing where it's standing. So we're not just visiting holy sites.
Right.
We are incorporating these other aspects to it, but we start our day in prayer. We use the resources I've made through the Little Pilgrim. My children use my own books. That's why I mainly create it, so they could have this resource, and they use them year after year because you're not going to remember everything by using it once, right? So there's always something to get out of, and as they get older, they can get different things out of it. But we start our day in prayer. We find activities to do at different places. Like, we'll go on a rosary walk outside on monastery grounds if we can find it. We definitely try to go to as many sacraments as we can. So we will go all those in my family who can, which now we just have one left who can't go to confession or communion, but everyone else finds a way to incorporate. So they're not just walking around the church and learning about it, but they are participating in the sacraments there, and they're seeing all of the other people who've come there for something, often healing or because they're dealing with something hard, and they see all of these beautiful places as places of healing too, spiritually, physically, and whatnot, and learning their heritage. It's just having that focus on seeing it through a faith perspective.
Wow, that is just incredible. And so as we're talking about, you know, all these things you can do with your kids and wrapping up here with our time together, so you have all these different resources. You have your books. You also have a wonderful website with a lot of resources. And you have a great Instagram. That's actually where we first connected because I was following you. And you you did such a great job highlighting these wonderful local sites and just incorporated trivia and the liturgical year so well. So anyway, you have all these great resources. So maybe you can give people a quick overview of your resources and where they can find them.
Thanks. Yes, thelittlepilgrim.com is my website. I do have a directory there for all 50 states and pilgrimage sites that you can go to. It's constantly being updated. It literally has been a work in progress over 10 years.
Wow.
As I would learn about a place, I needed a place to put it and make sure other people could find out about it. So I have a directory. That's where you can buy my books. We're also willing to work with any Catholic gift stores. We do wholesale as well. But you can find my books on my website. And I have some exciting things in the pipeline this summer that I'm excited will get kids more excited to want to seek out more sacred sites. So stay tuned for that on there. My Instagram, yes, is the_little_pilgrim on Instagram and the Little Pilgrim Books on Facebook. I do love having that social media outlet to kind of get people excited about take your kids on pilgrimage.
Yeah.
That's where you can find me.
Perfect. And we'll be sure to share those resources as well. Teresa, it has just been a pleasure having you here on The Morning Blend. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been so fun.